This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Are you ready for Impact, Keith? Yes.
Impact.
Yeah.
Players.
Impact players. Yeah. Okay, I needed to clarify there a little bit.
It's a little early for me.
Halfway through my coffee. But yeah, no, I'm ready. I was born ready.
Is this coffee number one you have on the when you're on your route to work? That's number one.
Yeah.
So I have a little home coffee.
Then I have a little home coffee.
I have a little work coffee.
No, because like I told you, I only do. I only do iced coffee.
So
you can't do it at home. But it ends up being a whole thing. It's never the same.
Nah, it's poor. When we make it in the Jones household, it never really.
It doesn't really
is what
work.
I'm looking for. No.
Yeah. And so anyway, so I get one on the way in. Now there's different times if you want to get to this. If I get it near my house, it's usually drained by the time I get here, then I'm disappointed. I try to get one closer to work if I can hold off.
That's the challenge.
And then I at least have it for like
the
first.
Now you're fiending for caffeine.
Yeah.
Now you're itching yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm yelling at people. I'm like real mad in the car. So, yeah, no, this is my first coffee of the day.
All right.
Usually a one-and-done scenario.
But
it's a jug.
We've talked a lot about quarterbacks throughout the course of the week, and it doesn't mean we won't talk about them more today. But you hear of Vrabel yesterday, and we played that live here on Jones and Keefe, talking about how Justin Herbert's one of the best QBs in the league. Drake May is an MVP candidate. Like, I'm with you, Keefe, on something you said earlier this week. I would take May in this matchup, but I don't think it's a huge gap between the two of them.
No, I think Herbert gets looked down upon around here, and for a couple of reasons, right? I mean, 0-2 in the playoffs, like that is his record, and it was a really bad performance the last time around, and really both bad losses when you look at it.
Oh, yeah.
It's only two cracks at it, but those are the two biggest games of his career, and he wasn't very good in them. And up until last year, had a lot of really bad games against the Patriots. So I think when you add all that together, people view him pretty poorly. Also, he was getting like lumped in with Allen and Mahomes and Burrow maybe too quickly because he had an awesome rookie year and he put up some really good numbers. And
his second year, he put statistically even better, right? Monstrous too. Yeah,
but he was one of those guys that did have like a really good year. I remember his rookie year was really good and was one of the reasons we would point to like why Drake May should have played right away. We're like, look at this guy. And I know he didn't play week one, but I think it was week two he started because of, you know, they injured Tyrod Taylor, puncturing his lung on the sideline. But either way, he got thrown in there, and he was really good. Curran brought something up that on Tuesday that I agree with Herbert, too. And you can take this one either way. He thinks he was getting too much excuses because he had bad coaches prior to Jim Harbaugh. But I'd say that's also the reality. I mean, when you have Brandon Staley going for it on every single fourth down and Brandon Staley playing your wide receivers in week 18 and you don't have him now for the playoffs, like, he had two bad NFL head coaches prior to Jim Harbaugh. So I know he lost last year with him in the playoffs, but now this is also sort of like a new – he's in better hands now than he ever was before.
He is, but statistically he's taken a pretty big hit when he's gone to the Harbaugh offense.
Uh-huh.
Although he's thrown – it surprised me yesterday. We talked about this yesterday. I'm surprised he threw more passes than Drake May this year. Just volume of attempts. I'm surprised he threw more.
Me too, and he played one less game, didn't he?
Correct. He played 16 games.
Surprising.
So Harbaugh – the 2 years under Harbaugh, rather, with Herbert, 3,800 yards, 3,700 yards, 23 touchdowns, 26 touchdowns, three picks, 13 picks. So the picks went up this year. But, like,
although if
early in his career, he's thrown for 5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns. Like,
so last year, though, was his highest QB rating. Like, if you want to throw that stat in there, like, he was more efficient. Last year, he only threw three interceptions all season.
Yeah. I think
now, this year, it was up to 13.
I think Harbaugh is getting more out of him.
Yeah.
But just the
to make him run it a little bit better.
The gaudy stats from early in his career, that might be part of the reason why I think he's looked down on or underrated here in New England. Mm-hmm. Certainly because we talked about this earlier in the week, all the bad games he played against Belichick. And, you know, specifically just the fact that he's lost these playoff games and everybody around here expects you start 10-0 in the playoffs like Brady did. And Lamar Jackson's a loser and Justin Herbert's a loser. And I'm sure they'll make excuses if Drake May loses on Sunday. But anyway, that's a lot on these quarterbacks, which is actually not where we want to begin the show here today on Jones and Keefe. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. We'll go on the clock with a full wild card weekend preview at high noon. We'll make all our picks in just 60 seconds, so stay tuned for that. We're going to talk to Taylor Kyles, CLNS. He's going to break down Patriots and Chargers heading into the game on Sunday night. Always excellent stuff from Taylor Kyles. That's at 11:30. And we have a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45, so stay tuned. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch there, chat there. Just subscribe to WEEI. Beyond the quarterbacks, Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
May and Herbert, which is, I think, close. Edge goes to Drake May, but it is close. Who's going to make the biggest impact in this game among non-quarterbacks? Take May out.
Yeah.
Take Herbert out.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest impact player on Sunday?
I kind of think it might be Milton Williams. I love Big Milt, best friend of the show. That helps. But you saw him come back. You saw a few games without him, which I think also sort of allowed everybody to realize just how important he has been for this team all year. We talked to Christian Ellis about it on Monday. He's like, oh, my God, this guy just wrecks the game.
Raving about
it. Yeah, he loves him. And he should, especially that position. If anybody can understand the impact Milton Williams had, it'd be the guys lining up right behind him.
And raving about the leadership and everything else, too, beyond just the on-field
play. He's got the playoff chops from last year, going all the way to the Super Bowl, sacking Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And we know the Chargers' offensive line isn't very good. So Milt Williams could cause absolute havoc, and he's one of those guys that's perfect because he can help slow down the run game, right? And you saw Omarion Hampton on the injury report yesterday, didn't practice for the Chargers.
Yeah, what is that?
He's an ankle injury, apparently.
But that's got to be maintenance, right? I mean, I don't know if you want to give a guy maintenance on a Wednesday going into a playoff game, but that's got to be – he's been playing. That's got to be maintenance.
But Keenan Allen was on there for non-injury related. That's straight up maintenance.
Well,
they even said so.
Well, it's true. But, I mean, Hampton did – he broke his ankle or whatever it was earlier this year. So maybe it's, you know, the after effects and management of the ankle.
But, like, both
injury.
Teams had a lot of guys on the injury report yesterday, but with the Patriots, it was almost entirely illness, whereas the Chargers had all, like, injury designation. So, I mean, I assume he plays. I'm just saying – throw that in there between Vidal and Hampton. We talked about them yesterday, but he can help slow those guys down. He can make an absolute problem for Justin Herbert and be in his face all day. So I would say the guy that you spent a lot of money on in the offseason and has lived up to it this season, I would fully expect him to be a big part of the game on Sunday.
So we never discussed this beforehand.
No.
It's always very organic and natural.
Same
I agree.
Guy?
I mean, Milton Williams to me is the pick, and you highlighted it. I think, and we got pushback on this yesterday, tail of the tape. Go check it out, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram.
It's up there.
We had a full breakdown on the field, off the field, head coaching matchup, all of it. We gave the advantage to the Patriots' defensive line, which, as we said on the air, really boils down to the interior, Milton Williams and Christian Barmore. When you get to edge rushers and linebackers and really more of a outside pass rush, big advantage for the Chargers.
Yeah.
But I think Milton Williams can exploit the interior of that O-line, which they're banged up across the board. They've been poor across the board. And, yeah, he's just been a big money, big time player, at least on the run for the Eagles last year in the postseason. I expect to see that again. He was back for the Miami game, and his presence was felt immediately. Like, he was so obviously making a difference for the Patriots defense. And they struggled to stop Miami for various stretches, but he stood out on that defense. To me, Milton Williams is that name. So we agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did you consider, and who else would you have kind of next up after Milton Williams?
So I think on the other side, to give the Chargers some credit for actually having some good players, Derwin James, you know, again, going back to Patriots Monday, Hunter Henry highlighted him, how good he is, one of the best safeties, if not the best safety, probably Kyle Hamilton. But then after Kyle Hamilton with the Ravens, it's probably Derwin James. He's been doing it for a while. He can cause a turnover. I think he has a couple sacks on the season. Like, so he's kind of all over the field. And we've seen Drake May really utilize the tight ends. You know, Hunter Henry, he's relied on. Hunter Henry was second on the team in receiving yards and first in touchdowns. And then Austin Hooper had a bunch of big plays throughout the year. So if Derwin James helps eliminate some of that, that gives them certainly more of a chance in the game. But if you're like looking for like individual like star players, I would say Milton Williams, Derwin James, and then maybe you got to go down to Christian Gonzalez. Like, hopefully Christian Gonzalez, he's only a few games away from maybe getting a massive, massive contract. And this could help solidify things for him, strengthen his case. I think he's had a good year. There's definitely been moments where you can nitpick throughout the year. I'm curious how they're going to use him. They have three different receivers that they kind of throw to equally. And I don't think he's going to be just like on one of those guys or anything.
No, but I think he's gonna have a side of the field. Yeah, and yeah. I honestly think if Herbert's throwing at him, I think it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, and he shouldn't.
I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to pick on Carlton Davis, and they're going to try to dictate their matchups, whether they're in man or zone. And I think that's what they're going to do. Like, I think Gonzalez is a good player. I think the Chargers, the way the Patriots use him, and you say you're curious how they're going to use him, I think we know. The same way they've used him all year, I think.
Right.
If they're going to unleash something new in the postseason, great.
But you never know. Something up their sleeve?
Maybe. Yeah. I think we know how they're going to use them. And I think it's kind of a waste and it's kind of useless. And I think the Chargers shouldn't even throw towards them, in my estimation. So the names I went to, Derwin James is a good one. You know, Vrabel highlighted him. Henry highlighted him with us. Yeah. I heard May and Diggs talking about it yesterday. I mean, Drake May apparently, and I didn't remember this coming up last year, but I guess when they played the game last year in December, they got smoked 40-7.
Yeah.
During the week, May said, when he was playing Madden, he used to play with the Chargers, and he played as Derwin James a lot.
Nice.
Like, man, he's so young. I feel like Derwin James still seems young. Yeah, how did we miss that last year?
That's really good.
I don't know how we missed that. Yeah. But so May was very complimentary. Diggs was very complimentary. Henry, Vrabel, everybody. I think he's a good one. I'm curious about Ladd McConkey, who had a down year.
Yeah, he did.
And you've become a Bryce Purdy convert, Keith.
Yeah.
Based on your fantasy success, I feel like you're way down on Ladd McConkey.
He screwed me in the show league.
Based on those fantasy burns.
Yeah. He was bad.
I just don't forget, like, for a full season and off season, we were lamenting, and it's still horrible, you know, trading out of the Ladd McConkey pick, turning it into Jalen Polk and Javon Baker.
Oh, yeah. No, it was still a bad.
And Ladd McConkey is coming in.
Swinging a miss.
Dominating you last year in December.
Yeah.
Different team, different coach here for New England. Patriots are way better. I get all that. I'm just curious if we feel any of those burns from the Ladd McConkey blown pick
year
ago. And I wonder if that's still there. Because I don't think they're going to go at Gonzalez. And I think you're going to have a lot of Ladd McConkey matched up on either Carlton Davis or Marcus Jones. I think that's advantage Ladd McConkey.
I was really surprised to see, looking through it, because you saw that Herbert didn't throw for like a zillion yards. He didn't throw for a zillion touchdowns. But then looking through the stats going into this game, that he actually targeted Keenan Allen
the most,
more than anybody else. He had more catches than anybody.
I was gonna say, didn't Allen have like 80 catches? That's shocking to me.
Keenan Allen had 81 catches on 122 targets. He was 12 yards shy of McConkey. Again, the top three receivers were all within like 50 yards of each other. So the yards were basically a wash. Quentin Johnston was the guy that had the most touchdowns.
Yeah, he's kind of the big play guy out of those three.
Yeah, but it wasn't like one of those like, oh, are they going to have like 3,000-yard receivers like, you know, the Colts or like the old Gray Show on Turf or something like that. No, 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 3 700-yard receivers. You know, one guy had the most yards, one guy had the most catches, and one guy had the most touchdowns, right? They spread that out. But remember Keenan Allen last year with the Bears? He looked like he was 300 pounds. He was so slow. Like, he can still catch, but you're like, I don't know. They don't seem to be super explosive. I know Johnston earlier in the season started out really good. Because remember, I think we tiered wide receivers and we had him ranked really low. And people were like, ah, that guy's having a good year. And then it kind of was fine. But yeah, Ladd McConkey, I think, still has it in him. But last year, he was like 1,100 yards. You were like, oh, man, if that's his baseline, like, what is this guy going to be? And then he had like pretty, like a pedestrian year. He's still good. I'd still take him in a second. But yeah, I'm curious how he's going to be. He matched up well, really well against the Patriots last year, but this, of course, is a much different team.
Yeah, so that's another name that I'd consider. Diggs probably belongs on that list as well.
Sure. What about the running backs?
Well,
Pats running backs? No. Hendo and Ramondre? The reigning AFC Offensive Player of the Week?
I don't think the Patriots are really going to be able to run on this team, to be honest. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they get completely shut down, but I don't think it's going to look like it did against Miami,
well,
where they're
no.
just running
it's
wild.
It's not going to be like the last couple of weeks.
But, you know, they've been able to run and utilize those two backs. So if you want to mix them in as well, go right ahead. 617-779-7937. Who's the biggest impact player in this game on Sunday? Among the non-quarterbacks, mm-hmm. take May out of it, take Herbert out of it. Do you think that's what it comes down to, Keith? Do you think it comes down to these two QBs, or do you think it comes down to something else?
I'll be simple. Yes, it's going to come down to the QBs. I think we've seen Drake May this year, and one of the things that people have really pointed to now when they're making their MVP arguments is there are no other Pro Bowlers on offense. Like, it is Drake May, and we both love what Steph Diggs has done this year, but he's not Ja'Marr Chase, at least not anymore in his career. And so Drake May has really upped the level of play of everybody around him. Like, if you take each guy that they have on the team, it points back to Drake May. Like, you're like, all right, right now the number two receiver, because Matt Collins is out, is what, Pop Douglas? Maybe Kayshon Booty?
I would probably lean Booty, but
yeah,
it's
like,
not,
like you just go through and it's like, you know, it's average above average players, and then it's Drake May. And then I think on the flip side of that, the Chargers, we just went through the receivers, how they're a little bit underwhelming to me. I don't like their tight end. I don't like their running backs, and their whole line's bad. So yeah, it's going to be about Justin Herbert. Now, you can get into one of those things where if there's pressure on him all day long, you're like, oh, the O-line let him down. True. But Herbert is going to have to kind of overcome all of that if he wants his first playoff win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it is about the quarterback.
I mean, I hate to oversimplify
it. No, I know, but like sometimes
actually,
that's the answer.
Actually, I love to oversimplify it. That's actually my favorite thing to do. It's going to come down to these two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And if Herbert loses, he's a choker.
Right.
And if Drake May loses, I don't know if we officially put the choker label on him, but there's... You put him on notice. He's on choker notice if he loses a game.
No, it is, because it happens quickly.
Depending on how he plays. Yeah. We talked about this earlier in the week.
How he plays. It's a home game. They are favored, but they're not like 10-point favorites. Right, you know, like if the only big giant like point spread on the board is the Rams Panthers game, so that would be one where like if the Panthers win, you're like, oh my god, like what a bad loss that is. So like this game is pretty close in that sense. So I wouldn't put it on them, but again, think about how a lot of people, including people listening, feel about Justin Herbert, and that's two playoff losses. So if you're going to weigh that and be like, oh, that's bad, or like when Lamar got off to his slow start, or Peyton Manning, or
whoever. Think about how if you lose to the choker, you guys all think Justin Herbert's a choker and a gag artist,
yeah,
and
yeah.
he stinks on
yeah.
the other side, and now you're losing to him.
So I wouldn't go there yet, but I could understand how at least begins the conversation. So something's going to give. One of these guys at least is going to get their first playoff win.
Okay.
So there's that.
You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We'll talk about this with Taylor Kyles coming up at 11:30. You can check out his work at CLNS. Always a good breakdown from Taylor Kyles. We will go through Wild Card Weekend, preview it in just 60 seconds each at high noon. And a key for madness for you at 12:45. On the way next, I thought Steph Diggs had an interesting comment about Drake May and his leadership and his emotions and something that Steph Diggs wants to see out of Drake May moving forward. I'm curious if we get any of that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
On Sunday. That was Drake May getting ready for his first playoff game on Sunday night in Foxborough. You can discuss here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. About an hour from now, we're going to talk to Taylor Kyle, CLNS. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we ranked all the playoff quarterbacks yesterday. People loved it, Keefe. There were no complaints.
Nope.
People said it was how we did it. We're just throwing out a name and then live ranking them wasn't confusing for the listener at all.
No.
So we're going to go back and do that with head coaches.
Yes.
Coming up at 11 o'clock. Plus, we have some thoughts on the Celtics. Fourth quarter collapse for them last night. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. We started off talking about impact players, taking the quarterbacks out of it. May and Herbert, I think a lot of us realize, even if it's going to come down to them, and it probably will, we like to oversimplify.
Mm-hmm, no doubt.
As the text line points out, Jones loves oversimplification because it's the only way his small brain can comprehend things.
That's fair.
True. I mean, that's an accurate text.
Ooh, bird
hamster
brain over here?
Fell off the wheel.
His hamster fell off the wheel again. Get him back on there.
Good point. Kelsey Grammer burned me with that pretty good.
He smoked you.
So we do think it'll come down to the QBs, and I would say if it's an oversimplification, simplification, fine. The impact player, though, we agree on will be Milton Williams.
Mm-hmm.
We had Derwin James on that list. I had Ladd McConkey. You had Gonzo. Maybe Diggs and the running backs on there as well.
Yep.
So you continue to weigh in on that. I do think when it comes to this matchup and the loser label, like Drake will be put on loser notice real quick, whether you want him to or not. Because Herbert's already there, and he was pretty much there after losing one playoff game. How did we talk about Justin Herbert for 3-4 years? He finally got back last year in year five. He stunk even worse than the first go-round where he blew a 27-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
And now we talk about him like he's a playoff choker. So that is some of the stakes. We started talking about that on Monday. And never mind you drop this game, the schedule stuff gets thrown back in your face, and what is Mike Vrabel as a playoff coach? I think would he be 2-4 at that point? If he loses, so there is a lot of stakes to this game.
Sure.
Beyond just, they've had a good year and it is a successful year. How we'll frame things moving forward is going to shift a lot on this game. And by the way, it should.
Well, I think, because just at the beginning of the year and then you're talking about like, if they make the playoffs and like, what does it mean if they lose and blah, 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 blah. But now that we know the matchup and the situation, they're at home. They're 3.5-point favorites against the Chargers, who we think is the best draw of all the playoff teams in the AFC. Maybe with the exception of Pittsburgh, but that wasn't an option anyway. So out of all the wild card teams, this is the team you wanted to play. I heard Ninkovich yesterday say he thinks they're going to beat them 42-10.
I heard a lot of Nink. I missed this. You're telling me that.
I don't see that. Yeah, he said they're going to beat them 42-10. So I'm like, based on that logic, they better beat this team. So a team you think they're going to beat by over 30 points, if you don't capitalize on that.
This is a good point. It's like everyone is like, Patriots are going to win.
Patriots are going to win.
And then we all think it, and then they lose, and it's like, the Chargers are pretty good. It's Justin Herbert. It's like, you guys,
now, this is the matchup.
All thought the Pats were going to smoke them.
Yeah.
You all think the Chargers are soft and a West Coast dome team coming to the East Coast, which I, by the way, that is not really any of the logic I've applied to this game. The spot matters, and it's a factor.
Yeah.
But if you're hoping the Patriots win because the Chargers are coming west to east and playing outdoors,
I like the matchup.
You don't think the Patriots are very good?
2 weeks ago when we were looking at potential matchups and then we were talking about, what does this team need to do? Because we were already like, it's a successful season, obviously, but like, what do you want to see them do in the playoffs? And like, how upset would you be if they lose and all that? Well, if it was Josh Allen in a really close game, like the first two regular season games, I'm not going to lose my mind. I would be like, they lost to Josh Allen, who is trying to make it to the Super Bowl. And who knows? Maybe this will be the year that he finally does. And you're like, all right, there's really not a lot of shame in that. But for a team that we all kind of expect can win, and you're at home against a quarterback that hasn't been able to break through yet in the postseason, it is set up for them to win this game. And then we'll sort of take it from there and see what the next opponent happens to be. But yeah, this is a big opportunity for them.
It's great. It's like, the Chargers stink, Herbert stinks. You lose to the Chargers and Herbert. It's like, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Successfully, no worries, no stakes whatsoever to this game. So I think there's a difference. It's a successful year. How we frame it is going to be significant moving forward. Speaking of significant, big move in the division, Keefe.
What do you got?
Miami Dolphins have fired Mike McDaniel.
What?
I would say the good news and the positive is I don't see how it could be worse.
Are they getting John Harbaugh?
Well, that's what I was going to say. If it's a team that we didn't think was going to have a vacancy, I mean, I thought all year they were going to fire this guy.
But they, weirdly stood by him. Then he like had a little signs of life, and then they kind of fell apart, and then they had a bad record. And then you're like, well, I guess they're keeping him. All these other coaches got fired. A few coaches got fired day of Sunday. A couple coaches got fired Monday, Black Monday in the league. And then, well, John Harbaugh, like he was given his own day. So maybe they wanted to do it yesterday, but they're like, let's give Harbaugh
maybe
a day.
Maybe Aikman finally showed up to work and said, get rid of this guy.
So this is the one thing we said,
because they were like, he's going to be here. That's so weird.
Honestly,
to win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
We've been pretty good on the coaching carousel, honestly. Yeah. We brought up Harbaugh before he got fired. We brought up Aikman specifically to Miami and how that could be problematic for McDaniel. But I wonder if, yeah, this would tell me that that's probably where Harbaugh is going. That would not.
I don't like that.
That would not be, I don't think that's a great choice at all. I'd rather have the Giants job.
No, I'm saying as a Patriots fan, I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think he can help turn them around. I think Harbaugh's a good coach.
Yeah.
I don't want to be dealing with that.
Right. So, good. Make it from a Patriots perspective.
Yeah.
It's probably bad news that he's in the division. Fair.
Yeah.
But I just think that's a bad pick by him. I think there were better jobs. But you're right. From a Patriots fan standpoint.
Don't want that.
Now you're dealing with John Harbaugh in the division.
No,
and we
said
yesterday we think he could be Mike Vrabel and turn a team around.
I'd say keep Mike McDaniel if you're a Patriots fan, who I actually, he started out pretty well. People like dismiss it like he's only a loser and he's weird and he has all these bad quotes. Like, he made the playoffs a couple times and he has Tua. I don't think Tua is any good. I've never thought Tua was good. And he made him look like an MVP for a little bit until he didn't. And now they got to move on from him. And so maybe they're looking at just like a new coach quarterback combo down there in Miami.
Mike McDaniel in 4 years, 35 and 33. Two playoff appearances. He went 9-8, 11-6, 8-9, 7-10. So yeah, I mean that's not a horrible
head coach.
It's not
the worst. Yeah. And I think it's funny now that like Mike McDaniel, Kevin Stefanski, Cliff Kingsbury are all available. I don't know. I don't want Kingsbury as my head coach. I wouldn't want maybe Mike McDaniel right away as a head coach. But that's three good offensive guys that are all available right there. So they could all pair up with somebody like a John Harbaugh. Not obviously not McDaniel there, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
or like
if Harbaugh and Cliff Kingsbury go
Jesse
to Miami.
Minter, Brian Flores, like a defensive coach would have.
There's
a high
some good
end.
Pairings.
Well, that's a good point.
I don't know if this guarantees that Harbaugh goes to Miami. That's just my assumption as to why they would can him now, because McDaniel was on thin ice the whole year.
Schefter just said the Dolphins have not reached out yet to Harbaugh.
Well, yeah, I mean that's. They probably told him to say that.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are also the team that were trying to get Sean Payton and Tom Brady for years. Remember they got caught tampering.
Good point. Good point. Actually,
like, I don't believe anything the Dolphins say.
Well, actually, no. You just answered it.
Yeah.
They actually can't say they've reached out to him because that might be tampering. At least, well, not with not since
Harbaugh's
been fired.
Not in the day or so from Harbaugh. But, they probably just want to stay away from
but
all
none
that.
Of this is happening. None of this is happening in real time, I don't think.
No, it never is.
Like, this is so now we're just finding out McDaniel is gone. And we found out a couple of days ago that Harbaugh is officially gone. But all these things have been up in the air. And I'm sure the Dolphins, through back channels, have been like, well, if Harbaugh actually gets fired, we want McDaniel.
So we got openings now?
We would fire McDaniel and bring in Harbaugh. Yeah, 8 openings, correct. And counting.
A quarter of the league, and I think they're probably not done. I mean, I still wonder what Tampa Bay's doing. They're like, we're good here. Like, they had a disaster second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he had a whole press conference like he's back.
Do you hear Todd Bowles?
Yeah.
Did he say he's won 3 straight divisions? Did he include this year?
I think he meant before this year. I was like, you guys famously did not
win the division this year. You're not playing
they
anymore.
They tied for a division win. Maybe that's what he meant.
We had the same record. Oh, so they won 3 straight divisions. Okay.
Yeah, that must have been past tense. Must have been what he was saying. So Mike McDaniel out. I agree, Keith. That's probably bad news for the Patriots in the division.
Well, let's see who if they get John Harbaugh or something. If they get somebody worse, so like, great. And you never know. There's a lot of dumb teams out there.
But why else would Miami wait until Thursday to fire Mike McDaniel if they weren't in on Harbaugh?
Well, like Nick half joked, but like if you bring in somebody like Troy Aikman and you actually value his opinion and they're like, hey, get a sense of this organization. Like, tell us what you think. And he's like, yeah, get rid of that guy. They're like, okay. Like, we're paying him for a reason.
Yeah, but you think it took Aikman till Thursday to figure that out? I'm sure Aikman already had his feeling. He made them clear on Monday Night Football. We talked about this on like Monday or Tuesday. He made his feelings clear on Monday Night Football about Mike McDaniel and his coaching style earlier this year.
True.
So I don't think he needed to audit the organization. I think he came in and he's like, I don't like Mike McDaniel. He knew that the second they brought him in.
Do you think these teams try to figure out a way to fire a guy with cause so they can save money? Like, maybe they're like digging through every single bit of information to be like, do we have to pay him all the money that he's owed?
I don't know.
A poorly run organization.
They are. Assuming Harbaugh's in there, and I would assume that at this point in time, it's probably not great news for the Patriots.
But like, they still need a quarterback. Like, that's obviously very significant, but
Harbaugh would be, I mean, I'd beef up the coachings in the division for sure. Where another Super Bowl winner.
Where are the Dolphins drafting?
Probably not that high.
11.
Yeah, 11. A little bit higher than I thought. Yeah, I don't think you're getting the quarterback there.
No.
And who are the guys that are going to be moving? Just like Kyler Murray, like starting quarterbacks that are moving.
I was
just
about to say, could they get in on Lamar? He's from Miami, but not if you're bringing in Harbaugh.
I don't think so.
Okay. So, yeah, Kyler.
No, I don't think Lamar's going anywhere, though, now. He won that battle with him, the coach.
Fair. He's from Miami. That was the only reason I bring that up. Kyler, yeah. There's another name we've been kicking around for QBs that could move.
Is Aaron Rodgers on a one-year deal? Can he just hot potato teams at the end of his career?
Speaking of him, you think Tomlin's safe?
I mean, every year he makes the playoffs and loses in the first round and he stays. So why would this year be different?
I would wager on him coming back. But
yeah.
There's enough buzz. Florio had it over the weekend, I think, leading into the game on Sunday night. And then Jeremy Fowler had it as well in the last 48 hours or so. Tomlin has like TV jobs lined up or a TV job lined up. So is that leverage with the Steelers? Yeah. Or is that like his way of making it look like he wasn't fired and he's just going to TV and he's done with coaching
to save
face? I wonder, but I don't think he's totally safe. So that could be another vacancy. Not that I think Harbaugh would go there.
Rank the seats in terms of hotness.
Yeah.
One being the hottest of the seats, like you're sitting on the sun.
Yep.
Tomlin, McDermott, Sirianni.
I'd probably go that exact order. Tomlin, McDermott,
okay.
Sirianni.
I think they're all pretty good jobs. I mean, the other two better than the Steelers job.
How would you rank them? Tomlin has to be the hottest seat.
But that's an organization that's had three coaches ever, and they seem to be fine with him getting to the playoffs and losing.
The fan base there is like pretty openly turned on
him,
though.
You also feel like so Lamar and Harbaugh.
Fan base is turned on Sirianni and
McDermott.
Fan base is turned on McDermott. It's true.
So I think it might be the Bills because Lamar and Harbaugh, you would think, what a great pairing. What a great coach-quarterback pairing. Like, just wait till they break through. They didn't. They kept the quarterback. In Buffalo, same thing. Especially this year, everyone's pointing to Josh Allen not having to go through Mahomes or Burrow. And if they lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars, I mean, they're keeping Josh Allen till his legs fall off. So that's not an issue. It's going to be McDermott that might go.
Malik Willis, come on down. That's maybe another name that could be in the QB mix.
Shine texted me in all caps. Willis to Miami.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I kind of like Malik Willis.
Yeah, do you?
Kinda. Yeah. I said kinda.
Kinda.
But am I now... It's Harbaugh and Malik Willis. I don't know how I'd feel about that.
I'm not that scared. Listen, because somebody's like, oh, we're scared of Harbaugh now on the text line. I'm like, no, he's a legitimate coach.
Yeah.
And so let's see where that goes. He's had a lot of good teams.
All right. We'll get into Drake May and his comportment, his makeup, his leadership, his emotions. Steph Diggs had some interesting comments on that. Sidetracked by the news, though. Mike McDaniel out in Miami.
Man.
Could Harbaugh be the next head coach there? I don't know why they'd wait until Thursday to fire him if they weren't going to all of a sudden pivot to a guy like John Harbaugh, but I guess we'll see. 617-779-7937. We'll mix in your phone calls on this. We'll rank our head coaches in the playoffs coming up at 11 o'clock. Where does Mike Vrabel fit in there? Find out coming up about 20 minutes from now. And on the way next, we'll get to the Celtics' huge fourth quarter collapse against the Nuggets without Nikola Jokic last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamavah Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamavah Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamavah.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
night. That's next.
Celtics gagged one away last night.
What happened?
Without Nikola Jokic on the other side, what happened is Jaylen Brown tried to take over and turned it over every other time down the floor.
Still in there a little bit. Still in his game.
He's having a great year.
He's having an awesome year.
So, you know, that doesn't change anything. He's still having a great year. Last night in the fourth quarter, he was miserable.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets couldn't miss from three. And you let guys like Peyton Watson. Jalen Pickett hitting big shots down the stretch. You let guys like that take over. And, yeah, I think it's a pretty big gag job. Twitch chat is saying, oh, well, how much of a choke is it? They were only up three in the fourth quarter. Nuggets went on a 14-0 run. It's a pretty big choke when you're at home playing as well as you are. And it's Peyton Watson, Christian Braun, Brown. I hate him.
Brown.
The way he says his
Brown,
name.
Braun.
All the stuff he brings to the I hate it. I can't stand it. He's one of the players I hate the most in the NBA.
Good one. Very hateable.
Jalen Pickett. So
Jamal Murray's nice.
No, he's
having an all-star year, but... over the last couple of years, they've had those weird losses where they played the Lakers without LeBron and Anthony Davis, and they lost. They played the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell.
So you think that's what it was? You think they let down a little bit?
There has to be a little bit of that. Now, I know it's a four-quarter game, and you had the lead for three quarters, but there's got to be some part of the human nature where you only play the Nuggets twice all year. You get them once at home, and there's no Jokic on the other side. It's got to be a little bit of a letdown. It was like when the Patriots played the Bengals without Burrow and Chase. No, those guys aren't out there.
Good point.
So that's no excuse for losing. It just feels like there have been examples where star player on the other team, you're like, oh, this is going to be easy. They were 9.5-point favorites going into the game. You're like, they're gonna be fine. Jaylen Brown has been as hot as he is. I guess it's actually the game before he didn't shoot great. But you know what I'm saying? Like he's on this great run. We're talking about him as an MVP candidate. They've been moving up the standings in the East. Here comes a wounded Western Conference team, and then they beat you in the fourth quarter. So it's frustrating, and it's some of the same stuff that you'd expect where the turnovers come into play. The Celtics didn't miss a zillion threes, but the Nuggets made a bunch.
They made everything.
They made all their threes.
Turp made a good point. Turp's like, if they value the three-pointer so much, which they do.
They do.
Offensively, they love it.
Yeah. It's their favorite.
If you value it so much, why are you so comfortable letting the other team just jack up threes?
Like, maybe defend the three.
Isn't that inconsistent? Like, if the three's so valuable, maybe defend it. Not
get them off the
not
line.
Just give them wide open threes. Like, that would seem to be consistent. I thought that was a good point by Turp. So anyway, I don't have any big picture blanket takeaways on the Celtics. I just think it was a bad loss.
Yeah.
I still feel largely the same as I felt yesterday. Jalen's having a great year.
Kata had a good game on the boards.
Oh, my God, a monster.
He had 20 rebounds.
He didn't hit. So I had a buddy bet the exact same thing last night.
He bet 20 rebounds?
No. He bet a Kata double-double.
Oh, you didn't get the points, though.
No, you didn't get the points. Somebody texted in.
The rebounds in half.
Yeah, the exact same thing.
Oh, well, if it was 10 offensive rebounds, 10 defensive rebounds, he did have a double-double.
It's a double-double. But, like, if you bet a Kata double-double, you should have moonwalked to that thing.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
He couldn't score. He had one possession where he had, like, five straight offensive rebounds and missed, like, five straight layups.
Yeah. Luka Garza couldn't miss, though.
Hugo got in there and batted around a couple of stupid layups as well. No, you're right. Garza's been an energy player and an addition off the bench.
Yeah,
so I think it's nothing more than that. It's just a bad loss last night at home, and maybe they did let down
without Jokic. Yeah, this isn't like the Nets loss or the Jazz loss. Like, they had some more head-scratching losses early in the season. They've been on this great run. What was it? 8 of 9. They had won. Thought they were going to win this one. They don't. They get Toronto tomorrow.
Text line is, Twitch chat is right. I forgot about this. Jalen last night getting the MVP chance?
Yeah.
MVP!
Ball goes out of bounds.
Yeah. Brick.
Yeah.
Brick.
Turnover.
Can't make free throws with the whole finally, Jalen Brown gets the love that he so obviously wants.
Yeah.
Like, he still can't stand that he got booed on draft night. Which I don't know who those evil people are that were doing that.
Those are bad guys.
Whoever those guys are, those are bad guys.
Were they sitting in the loge doing a radio show?
Somebody should find those two and really, like, put them on notice.
Yeah.
But, like, he's so angry about that. He's finally getting the love, and it's washing over him. An MVP chance that he so desperately is, like, thirsty for and begging for.
And
then what does he do? Brick?
Brick.
Loss. And a loss last night against the Nuggets. Not a great one for the C's last
night. Well, because for him, too, we're talking about, like, you know, all-NBA first team, which right now he would be there, in my mind, or, like, MVP consideration. And almost as important a stat as, like, his points is wins, because that's what really separates you. When you're 100%. Like, oh, you don't have Tatum and all these other guys, and you're still the 2 seed.
If he puts
you'll get all kinds of credit.
Puts up 30, and he's the 9 seed. No one's going to bat an eye.
No, Trae Young.
You put
he's Trae Young, and he gets traded.
Exactly. Which he went for. Talk about going for nothing.
Yeah, just a bag of balls.
What's the equivalent of what the Celtics could have got Trae Young for? Simons,
right, so,
Simons and Hauser?
Yeah, because it was what? Kispert and who was the dude that threw in?
Well, fat CJ McCollum now. He is.
Yeah, the corpse of CJ McCollum.
No, it's like a bloated corpse.
Well, yeah, he was in the water a while. They got him out of the Mystic.
There's like a water bloat on CJ McCollum going on. Yeah. Yeah.
Did he get attacked by bees? No, that's just kind of what he looks like now. He's fine. Yeah. So it's just like a contract. I mean, honestly, I would rather have Simons than McCollum.
Okay. Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I think Simons has more value than
McCollum.
No,
I'm asking, though. If you could have given up Simons and Hauser, which I think is roughly the equivalent of that, and the salaries have to be at least close, if not right on.
It's two players that play for one, and I just wonder, like,
would Trae Young buy in as the Simons role?
No. I don't think so.
Simons doesn't even buy into the Simons role.
Right. And now you're telling Trae Young, who also has a player option for $49 million next year.
Bill Chisholm.
Although Mazzulla would be like,
wouldn't even allow the beginning of a conversation.
You don't have
that.
To tell Trae Young to shoot a three, though. He will take it the second he gets it. Oh my God. There is that part.
Perfect coach for
him. So Mazzulla would like that, but then Mazzulla, I think, might be a little disappointed in his defense.
It's true.
Slightly.
Okay. We were also talking about Mike McDaniel. Fired in Miami. By the way, Rap Sheet had an update on this. You don't need to be an NFL insider to connect these dots. These were easy dots to connect.
What do you got?
But he says, with John Harbaugh available and Dolphins owner Stephen Ross's ties to the family, Stephen Ross is a big Michigan guy. Jim Harbaugh was at Michigan, although I don't know how popular he is at Michigan these days. But there's an obvious connection there.
Yeah.
He looms as a key candidate for Miami, Rap Sheet says, a reason to fire the coach. With the thought that they would get Harbaugh. So I think that's easy dots to connect.
You hear Jim Harbaugh talking about John yesterday?
No.
I mean, he's his brother, but he's like, best coach I've ever seen. He's like, I really hope he goes to the NFC. Like, that was his take. He's like, yeah, I don't want this guy going to an AFC team.
How about that?
I mean, it's his brother, but like, it was really nice.
Sounds like he's not going to the AFC. He might be going to the AFC East specifically for the Patriots. Jim's in Western Mass on John Harbaugh. Go ahead, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Jim, you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay. Let me take my earphones.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah, maybe that could be one of the issues.
You want to start it over again? Hang on.
Start it over fresh.
Take this out of the podcast.
Yeah.
Don't let this on the podcast.
All right, let's go to Jim in Western Mass on John Harbaugh's future. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Jim. That's not going to happen.
That's for sure worse. Then you put the earpods back in. I didn't catch any of that. He was like floating in the river with McCollum is what it sounded like.
Terrible.
All right. We'll get that. We'll get the kinks worked out.
We'll circle back to it. Harbaugh, anyway, sounds like he could be going to the Miami Dolphins to replace Mike McDaniel. Now out. Good coaching carousel week.
Really is.
A lot of breaking news.
A quarter of the league looking for a head coach.
Potentially.
Yeah,
true. Here on Jones and Keefe. You can discuss 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Taylor Kyles, CLNS, at 11:30. We'll go on the clock at high noon. Full 60-second preview. On Wild Card Weekend, all our picks coming up, plus a key for madness at 12:45. And on the way next, let's rank some playoff head coaches. Where does Mike Vrabel fit in among the 14 head coaches in the postseason? You'll find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.